good to be with you again. Really is. So let me just find the right part of my Bible, which will really help. Shall we just pray? Father God, as we come and sit under your word now, we do pray that you would open our hearts to what you have to say, that we'd be attentive to your word, that you would speak to us, and that we would be able to put what we hear into practice. Thank you, Father, that you long to do this, so we come and ask that you might work this in us now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Well, I'm sure that some of you will be able to relate to this situation. When you have to get up early in the morning, you have a flight to catch, which means leaving the house whilst it's still dark. So you set your alarm the night before, perhaps a little bit too early for your liking, and your head hits the pillow, yet before you know it, you can hear that incessant beeping sound as the alarm goes off. Slowly the fog will clear, and you realise that it is indeed your alarm going off, you're not dreaming, and you remember you have to get up, you have to get dressed, and leave for the airport. There is a part of you, of course, that wants to hit that snooze button on your alarm. You want to close your eyes and rest just a little more. But you know that if you do that, you will miss your flight. Despite the fact it's still dark, daytime is still a way off, you manage to wake yourself up, get up, and start to get dressed for the day ahead. And if you are a Christian here this morning, then our passage here in Romans 13 has much to say to us about waking up, about getting up, and about getting dressed. There's a real danger for us as Christians where we can all too easily hit the snooze button as a follower of Jesus. So this morning, I really want to encourage you and I want to challenge you not to hit snooze, and hopefully, as we will see, it is well worth it. So do have your Bibles open at Romans chapter 14. It's important that you check for yourself what I am saying is correct. 13, did I say 14? Well, there we go. It's good that you're listening. So the first thing I want us to point to is, if we are to resist the urge to hit that snooze button, is the exhortation that we see at the beginning of verse 11 in chapter 13, which says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." See, this exhortation we see here is to understand the present time. If I wake up at night and I look at my alarm clock, like I did this morning, incidentally, I'm not interested in the time for its own sake. For example, oh, it's 3:15, that's interesting. I'm only interested in the time for what that time actually means to me. And hopefully, that time will mean that I can close my eyes and get a bit more sleep. But occasionally, it will mean that I need to think about getting up soon. In other words, I need to understand what the time actually means, what the implications are. Do I need to actually do something? And how much more the case for us as Christians? And as we see here in verse 11, that we are to understand the present time. That is to say, we're not only to acknowledge the time in which we live, but to understand what it means for us. What's our response to this? So what does the present time, those two words, what does that actually mean? I'm sure that many of you will have heard the phrase that we are living in the last days. Now, theologically speaking, we have been living in the last days ever since the death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last days are the countdown to when Jesus returns. So the last days are the present time in which we currently live. But we're not always going to be living in a perpetual state of the last days. There will be a generation that witnesses the return of Christ. And this is the thing in verse 11. We are to live like we could be that generation. I'm fond of saying, there is no one nearer in the history of the world to the return of Christ than you and I right now. And the command here in verse 11 is to understand the present time in relation to the return of Christ. And as we allow this truth about the time in which we live to sink in, we will see much more clearly the need for us to wake up. There is both an individual need to wake up, and there's a collective need to wake up, a church-wide need. So let's keep going through verse 11. The alarm clock has gone off. It's time to wake up. There's a wrestling here, isn't there? Figuratively speaking, it's possible to hit that snooze button in our life, to just close our eyes a bit more, eke out a little bit more time under the duvet, as tempting as that sounds. Perhaps it's the case that we'd rather not think about too much our need to wake up, because maybe, if we're really honest with ourselves, there's things about the world which we love a little bit too much. I certainly wrestle with that. Yet here in verse 11, we have this amazing reason, this amazing incentive as to why we should wake up. Over and above simply understanding the present time in which we live. What does it say? It says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And I want to just pause on this very briefly now. Many Christians will talk about being saved. Perhaps you might ask a Christian friend, is that family member saved yet? The thing we need to understand is that whilst we are here on this earth, while we are living, while we are breathing, we are not yet fully saved. This is because our salvation is a comprehensive term made up of three parts. The first part occurs when we repent and believe, we put our trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, paying the price of our sin. At this point, we are put right with God. We are justified through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done. The Bible calls this justification. The second part is, if you are a Christian, you live for Christ each day, with him as Lord of your life, learning to obey the Holy Spirit, in essence, becoming more and more like Jesus. It's a lifelong process, and it's made possible by the grace of God. The Bible refers to this as sanctification. And the third and last part is when we are raised up with resurrection bodies, when Christ returns. And the wonderful truth is this: Christ has not just redeemed our souls, he redeemed us as whole people, including the redemption of our bodies. The redemption of our bodies will only take place when Jesus returns. That's what the Bible makes very clear. And this is called glorification, and is the completion of our salvation. So we have been justified, we are being sanctified, and we will be glorified. And together, this makes up our salvation. And this is why we read here in Romans chapter 13 that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Waking up from our slumber, being awake, if you like, is actually a sign of spiritual maturity. If you were to look at, say, Matthew 24, you don't have to do it now, but maybe later on today you should have a look at that. We have the words of Jesus where he tells us to understand the age in which we live, to be alert so that we are not deceived, to stand firm in expectation of his return. You can't do any of these things if you've hit the snooze button and you're asleep. So how can we do this? Practically speaking, take an interest in what's happening in the world right now. It certainly sounds like from your prayers that you do that, which is great. And let's be honest, it's hard to ignore, isn't it? We hear about wars and rumours of wars, don't we? But don't be alarmed. We remind ourselves instead that Jesus himself said these things need to happen, leading towards his return. And that day is getting ever closer. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. So I really want to encourage you to have a biblical world view. This is where we look at what is happening in the world around us through the lens of Scripture. There are many Christians today who are sound asleep. Did you know that? They literally are snoring. Figuratively speaking, they've hit the snooze button. They pulled the duvet right over their heads. It's nice and warm. Life continues on as normal. They pay little to no attention to what's happening in the world, and even less attention to the return of Christ and the implications for their lives. But here, in stark contrast to that, in Romans 13, we are called to wake up, to understand the times in which we live, to not hit that snooze button. And cast your eyes back to how verse 11 begins in chapter 13, where it says, "And do this." This alludes to what has come before. For example, the command to love one another, verses 8 to 10. And before that, to submit to governing authorities, 1 to 8. And before that, in chapter 12, the need to be sincere, to share, to be patient, to be joyful, to leave room for God's wrath, to not conform to the pattern of this world. It's liberating to do these things, being fully awake to the time in which we live. We do them understanding the present time, waking from our slumber as we live for Christ. So, we wake up, then what do? Of course, you get up, don't you? So what does it say if we look further on in the passage? Verse 12, "The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy." Once we wake up, we don't snooze, we get up. And I think sometimes this is one of the hardest things to do. On a dark winter's morning, it takes a lot of willpower to resist the urge to hit that snooze button, doesn't it? Pull the covers back over my head. I can only speak for myself, but I know full well that when I need to get up, the way to ensure that I actually wake up properly is to put my feet on the floor and stand up. It's a decisive moment in the day, I have to be honest. And for us here this morning, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should take note of these words that we see here at the start of verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. See, as a follower of Christ, my reason for getting up is that the day is almost here. And that short phrase, "the day," we see in verse 12, that's pointing us to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. With that in mind, can I really afford to stay in bed? No. I need to get up. I get myself ready for the day that is coming, despite the fact that it's still dark. And this darkness isn't figurative, is it? It's very real. And as we've already thought about this morning, things aren't great in the world. And here in our country, we have a faltering economy. We have dangerous ideologies like transgenderism, like environmentalism, believe that one or not, like feminism, taking root in our culture, dictating how people not only live, but how they think. we have increasing numbers of Christians getting into trouble with the law in this country for praying silently and for preaching the gospel, for proclaiming biblical truth. This country that many of us grew up in now feels alien. In other words, we can see and experience the darkness that is around us. It's still nighttime. Yet, here in Romans 13, we have this amazing imperative call to wake up and live as if it's day. And you and I are to live and act as that, as if it is the daytime, despite the darkness. And in verse 13, we have some examples, don't we, of what it looks like to live as people who belong to the day. We are to be people who behave decently. Now, I'm sure that if you look at the things listed in verse 13, you might look at that and think, well, I've never done that. That's great. Please keep it that way. But the point being made here is that we are to avoid things which our sinful nature is drawn towards. Our old sinful nature that wants to dull our senses and lure us back into bed, as it were, wants to get us to pull the covers over our head. Instead, can I suggest we just tackle this head on? And I'd encourage you this morning, have a look at your life, examine it, examine your heart, and ask yourself this question: what things are there in my life that I've allowed to maybe remain in that little kind of dusty corner over there? Things which, if I'm honest, actually belong to the night time, that come under the heading of deeds of darkness, as it says at the end of verse 12. And the motivation for asking yourself this question is not to make yourself more acceptable in God's eyes. You can't do that. The glorious truth is, it's only because of the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross that we can be made right before God. That's justification, remember. The motivation for asking yourself this question of what things there are in your life which may be displeasing and maybe actually part of your old sinful nature is that this is part and parcel of your ongoing sanctification, of being made more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that lifelong process. The world outside, our friends, families, communities, workplaces, more than ever, they need Christians to live as if Christ is coming back soon. I wonder, how often do you actually think about Jesus coming back? Romans 13 gives us this great reminder that we are to live as if Christ is coming back soon. That's why it says the day is almost here. We behave decently as in the daytime, even though the darkness is around us. And I think this can be in a really exciting thing. It's a tremendous witness. And then in the middle of verse 12, we read these three words, "so let us," which is Paul, the writer of the letters to the Romans, is saying that we not only understand the time in which we are living, but we behave accordingly. Our actions align with what we believe. If we believe Jesus is coming back soon, we are going to be a bit bolder in sharing our faith. I'll give you a really tiny, almost ridiculous example from yesterday for me. I went to the Turkish Turkish barber in Lymington, and I had my head worked over, basically. You probably can't tell because you probably don't have a before and after of me, but it was very good. And the chap doing my hair and beard and everything, he asked if I had any plans for the weekend. And I initially said no. Why? I'll be honest with you, because I was a bit scared. And then I realised, what am I doing? I can't do that. So I had to clarify it. And I said, well, actually, I'm going to church on Sunday. Now, that's not a big thing in the grand scheme of things, but I just want to give you a glimpse of what it means to wrestle these things out on the tiniest level. How I need to get my heart in order. Let me be really honest. Can I really say that I'm trusting Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, and I'm believing that he's coming back, if I can't even tell a stranger I'm going to church on a Sunday? There's a disconnect there in my heart, if I think that's okay. So that's an example, on just a very small level, how I wrestle that out. You see, if we believe Jesus is coming back soon, we're going to want to stand for truth, even though it may mark us out as being different to those around us. There will be a cost. If we believe that Jesus is coming back soon, we're going to care more about being known as someone who belongs to him rather than someone who is popular in the world around us. We don't go looking for trouble, all right? But if we have a life that is trouble-free in this regard, then something might be wrong. And perhaps we need to wake up and stop hitting that snooze button. And here's the good news. While we're living and breathing, there is grace from God to start living for him today. What is past is past. But now, in this moment, I can choose to live for God. And we come to him in his throne of grace and ask for the help that he gives us. So we wake up, we get up, and lastly, what's the third thing we need to do? We should get dressed. So, verse 12 says, "The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." I'm imagining we can all relate to this, but when the alarm goes off, we don't hit the snooze button. Instead, we swing our legs over the side of the bed. We get up, but we don't just stand there like some kind of discombobulated wee willy winky. We need to actually do something. We need to get up and we need to get dressed, don't we? And what I get dressed in is determined by what I'm going to be doing that day. So if I'm going out for work and need to look presentable, I'm not going to put on my favourite pair of jeans with holes in the knees. Or if I'm not going to put on my best clothes if I'm going to be spending time fixing my car, which is an Alfa Romeo, and so actually I spend quite a lot of time fixing my car. I'm going to dress appropriately for what the day has in store. And here in Romans, in this passage in chapter 13, we have two clear indications on how we are to dress, the clothes we should put on as we seek to live as people who belong to the day. The end of verse 12 says, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Here we have our first hint of what we should wear. We put on the armour of light, and it's interesting how Paul contrast putting on the armour of light with putting aside the deeds of darkness. It may well be that we have to get changed, all right? We take off our old clothes, the things of our life that maybe keep us in the darkness, that belong to the darkness, taking them off. Could be things like bad habits that we've never properly dealt with, akin to comfortable, smelly old clothes that we're reluctant to part with. It can sometimes take longer than we might want to care to admit to actually begin this process of getting changed. But it starts with us seeing our need to be obedient to what God calls us to in his word, and in his grace and mercy responding to that call. It's okay to ask God to help us want to change. Ask yourself this morning, am I properly dressed for what God calls me to? And it's well worth ensuring that we're properly dressed, isn't it? You see, putting on the armour of light will mark us out as being different to those around us, to those who don't yet know Christ. And of course, if you were to look at Ephesians chapter 6, you have that amazing description of the full armour of God. You have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet that are fitted with readiness for the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And there's something else that's worth considering here, isn't there? Because armour is military equipment for those who are going into battle. And as Christians, we are, like it or not, engaged in battle. It's a spiritual battle with eternal consequences. And God does not expect or require us to go into battle ill-equipped. But we need to put on this armour daily. It should be part of our morning routine. And what might this battle look like? I think it's really important that as Christians, especially Christians in this country, that we separate out what is common to all people and what is unique to a follower of Jesus. There are many things in life which come our way, not because we belong to Christ, but because we live in a sinful, broken world. Things like illness, things like loss, things like disappointment. Now, it's wonderfully true, and we've heard it already this morning, that because of Jesus, we can come to our Heavenly Father to receive help through these times. And we've already heard snippets of testimonies to God's provision, sustaining and comfort in those areas. And amen to that. However, there are battles which will only come to us if we are faithful to God and His Word. Perhaps it could be a battle where you know it's right to stand for biblical truth as to what constitutes a marriage. And that means you're facing isolation from family or friends. You face that choice. Do I please man or do I honour God? It could be that you have conversations with long-time friends about the truth, that there is only one way to God, and that of being through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are starting to be labelled as perhaps a bit too judgmental or intolerant. And yes, we always have to be gracious in how we talk to people, especially non-believers, but that's never at the expense of truth. We are called to put God first in our lives, and when we do, it is going to cost us. I think the persecution of Christians is on the rise here in the UK. Not sure I'd ever thought I'd say that sentence, but it is the case, sadly. And yet for many Christians around the world, they have lived with persecution ever since they put their trust in Jesus. But I think here we're going to see this more and more, and it's a battle that we are going to face. And in order to get through that battle, we put on the armour of light. I'm afraid there's no third way here either. It's not like we can be conscientious objectors and perhaps stand on the sidelines, because at the end of the day, we are either going to be living as people who belong to the light or people who belong to the darkness. So let's bring ourselves back to this passage, because it really does get better. I want us to point to something amazing. Verse 14 says this: rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We clothe ourselves with Jesus. Clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ is not just about Christ-likeness, but of having the Lord Jesus Himself. It's a profound thing for us as followers of Jesus to really grasp this. To clothe ourselves with Jesus is to identify with everything that he represents, to align ourselves with who he is and what he has done. To clothe ourselves in Christ is to acknowledge his lordship in our lives, to submit to him. So practically speaking, how might I do this? Well, do I consider him in the decisions I make? Maybe making a purchase, maybe, or moving house, or pick any one of the things happening in your life. Or could it be on maybe a minor detail, really minor detail, like what do I watch on TV? Does it align with Jesus being Lord of my life, yes or no? There is a difference, I think, between living like God is there to rubber stamp and facilitate the decisions that we make versus living in submission to his will, his plans and his purposes. And I think we need to help one another in this. This is the amazing thing about church. This is why church is so important. And to clothe ourselves with Jesus is to put on the protection that he provides. I can have confidence to be bold in taking that stand or having that tricky conversation with a friend that God has been prompting me about, knowing that I am clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ as I go about the heavenly business of the day. If God is for me, who can be against me? To clothe myself with Christ is to experience the comfort he provides. There is nothing I go through in this life that Jesus cannot be of comfort to me in. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus says, I am with you even until the end of the age. Jesus won't force himself on us. It's up to us to avail ourselves of his gracious provision and clothe ourselves in him, submit to him. To be clothed with a person is originally a Greek phrase. It's to assume their interests. It's to enter into their world view. It's to imitate them. It's to be wholly on their side. To clothe ourselves with Christ is to do these things. And what amazing blessing that is. So I ask myself, am I really putting on the Lord Jesus Christ each day? And of course, verse 14 tells us that clothing ourselves in Christ is the key to overcoming sin. It's very easy to flirt with sin, isn't it? And that's quite foolish. I can flirt with sin about as much as I can flirt with a hungry alligator. It's not going to end well. And in our battle against sin, the key part of winning this is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow myself to be clothed in him, to understand what that means, to allow it to change me. This is a vital step in resisting temptation, of not even thinking about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I can't do that if I'm not clothed in Christ. It's impossible. But clothed in Christ, I can do that. So when you wake up in the morning, don't know what you do when you first wake up in the morning, but you could say, look, Lord, I want to be clothed in you today. I want to align myself with who you are, and I don't want to give leeway to my sinful nature. I remind myself daily, I wake up, I get dressed, I clothe myself in the Lord Jesus Christ, I put on the armor of light, I ready myself for the day ahead. Does this mean we're going to be perfect? No, because we're still in that process of sanctification. We will make mistakes, we will sin, we will get things wrong, but we really do have all that we need to live for God in this broken, hurting world, but also, crucially, to experience the profound inward transformation that only Christ can bring. So, look, to finish. Time is running out. The clock is ticking. Jesus is coming back. And right now, the world needs more than ever Christians to wake up from their slumber, to get up and be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. We wake up because the present time demands it. It might be tempting to stay in bed a little bit longer, but let's not do that. Let's encourage one another with the wonderful truth that our salvation is closer now than it was when we first believed. And in light of this truth, we can and should understand the time in which we now live and what it means. Look at what's happening in the world. Read your Bibles, apply a biblical worldview. But then we get up. We don't just stay in bed awake, do we? We get up out of bed. We need to do this because we belong to the day. And yes, the world is in darkness, but the day is coming. It can't be stopped. It's coming. Jesus is coming back, and we testify that to that by living as men and women of the light who belong to the day. And of course, we get dressed. That amazing truth that we have here in Romans 13, that we clothe ourselves in Christ, make use of the armour of light, allowing all that the Lord Jesus has done for us through his death and resurrection to permeate every area of our lives. We don't give ground to our sinful nature, but instead, we align ourselves to Christ. That's how we do that. Too many Christians keep hitting the snooze button. Don't be one of them. Heed the alarm, wake up and get dressed. Doing that will not only honour God, it will encourage your brothers and sisters who might still be snoozing to also wake up as well. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So don't hit snooze, instead say, come soon, Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that is contained in your word. And Lord, as we allow your word to sink ever more into our hearts, that we'd be able to apply it and live it out. That we would have comfort where comfort is needed. We'd have encouragement where encouragement is needed, and exhortation where exhortation is needed. That we would be a people who are awake, who are up, who are dressed, ready for what you have for us to do, and readying ourselves for your return. Do this work in us, we pray, Father God, in your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.